There's names in there, or there's yous in there, because that was God talking to you. Each one of you are precious in his sight. This is a little piecemeal kind of message today, because I was looking through my files from long ago. Well, not so long ago. I was 54 before I said yes to God, and so it's been a more recent journey than some young people. And so I was at seminary in Garrett not so terribly long ago. And as I was looking through some of my old files and such, I found that when I had a little piece of time, when I wasn't walking on the beach of Lake Michigan, because it was always summer and hot in the dormitories there, apparently I found envelopes and such to write poetry on. And so I found some of these. So I'd like to share those interspersed with my message with you. So thank you for listening and being here with me. It was a Thursday, and it was an eagle day. Two majestic birds perched just beyond a church window, gracing branches of birch. Intent, those eagles eyed rapid river water. Open fishing, quick enough, fresh trout for dinner. Afternoon walk about town, lone eagle circles. Smaller birds alarmed, warnings, nature deflected. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings. Bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And another one on another day. Oh, my dearest Lord, beyond all majesty, so high I cannot bear it, and deeply within me, your holiness complete, every thought and complexity, simplicity, all bow to you, O Lord. And another one, a psalm for Sabbath rest. And this is our Sabbath. And I hope your spirit is resting while you're here. You're not thinking about how cold it is outside or where else you should be, but you're just right here today. I am the, you fill that in. I am the, you are the. What are we, lover of my soul? I am alone, you are the friend who is present with me. I am questioning, you are the answer to all my doubts and fears, eternal light, glorious day. But it is night and you seem so far away. Or is it I who has wandered far from plans high and sustained by thee? This is a story I found, Max Lucado tells it, about Francis of Assisi. When Francis of Assisi turned his back on wealth to do good things for God in simplicity, he stripped and walked out of the city. Soon he encountered a leper by the road. He passed him and then stopped and went back to embrace the man. Francis continued his journey. But when he looked back, no one was there. Francis always believed that he had encountered the Lord Jesus that day in the form of that leper. So I ask you to think about that today. Who else are you meeting in your daily this and that's that you do that is actually the Lord Jesus? Francis believed that, and I do too. William Barclay is a theologian, and I read some of the scripture using his eyes, and he gave me good background on what it was like in that New Testament times after Jesus died and rose, and the disciples, and that's us, were on their own, and what it was like. Well, there was turmoil is what there was, and it was a hard time to live, just as we sometimes think that same thing today. You watch the news and you know there's all sorts of things going on with mistrust in the nation, in the world, all kinds of things. So anyway, the turmoil in that time and the believers scattered. The believers scattered out of Jerusalem. It wasn't safe for them to stay there. And one of the believers that scattered was Philip. And we don't know too terribly much about Philip, because you look in your Bible and there's not a book of the Bible named Philip, but we hear him every once in a while. And so he was one that scattered. And he was in Samaria. And by his life, his leading and his teaching, he became a great example to others. One thing he taught to the people was the love story of God to his people. So if sometimes you wonder, what shall I speak about? I know somebody who's not quite a believer. What should I start with? Well, Philip started with the love story of God to his people, and that's not a bad place to start. And then words and laying on of hands, and the scripture talks about that, and then that brought reality to the people, and it brought a sense of joy, such as the Samaritans had not known before. And if you don't feel the joy that you once felt, perhaps look into the scriptures and find that again. Well, Philip was doing the ministry in Samaria for a time, and folks back, not by email or texting or anything, but word of mouth, apparently back in Jerusalem, they heard that there was troubles, but there was some good things happening too, and Peter and John were sent for to aid Philip. So now there's three of them. Now there's three of them doing the ministry there. And Peter and John, doing well, but encountered somebody who wanted to buy faith. And perhaps that happens to us today too, that you think when you see folks that they need to buy everything, perhaps including their faith. But that doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way. I looked in other scripture to see where water, and I'd first thought when I thought it might be a little warmer, I thought maybe we'd all renew our baptism. I do that whenever I take a shower. But I didn't bring water today. I thought maybe it would change to ice before we could even do that. So we're not doing that today. One of the places where I found water was in Genesis 2. You remember God walking in the garden. And of course, many of us are gardeners, and you know it has to be watered. And there was water in the Garden of Eden. In Psalm 22, my life is poured out like water. How is that coming for you? Is your life being poured out like water? In Revelation, let the thirsty come, drink the water of life, without charge. In our time, anything that's without charge is something that you got to fasten onto because prices are rising and rising. And then there's John 1, and you know this scripture. John said, I baptize with water, but there is one I am unworthy to be his slave. Or another version says to untie his sandals. So that's a scripture too that we all know and we love. 1 Corinthians, and this is Paul talking. My job was to plant seeds. Apollos watered, but God made the growth, and he still does. And in 1 John, witness the Spirit, the water, and the blood. All three agree. And I pray that's true in your life too. In another poem, why do I love thee? You bring sunshine to my soul. You awaken my senses to glad songs of nature. Nature's entrance. 24 hours ago, Shabbat began for me, for Israel. Oh, how you must cry for humanity. Sabbath Eve, birdsong cheer, working relieve, twilight descends. Who, morning dove, laments alone, two, that who we are is who we were. Amen. Powerful parent of the universe, You are the one who engages me with worthy accomplishments. But sometimes, Lord God of the ages, being is enough. Being is enough. This Friday evening, may satisfaction overcomes worries of very much to do. Myself knows they are not what concerns thyself. Creator, sustainer, Lord, you know my inmost being, the doubts, the fears, the coping, bridging loneliness with love, saving through grace. A sip of that living water. I don't think any of you know my background, but I was born to a very poor family. My parents were elementary age educated and no more after that, so they worked hard for a living. My mother a maid, my father a watchman, but they did the best they could for us three children. And they were nurturers of the family and the extended family, because some of their brothers and sisters didn't live in Cloquet. They lived across the country, and letters, of course, at that time were important. And my dad's little bit of vacation that he had, occasionally, every year or so, we would go visit one of the brothers or sisters that lived here or there. And I met cousins then that I didn't even know. When disaster or illness struck, ours was the home that took in extended family members, though we often didn't have enough ourselves. I have taken that a step further because you are my sisters and my brothers. I'm far from my own children, and my sister and brother are far as well, but you are my sisters and my brothers. Quiet time. Reflections, after a day of hours, so close, God within me, kneeling upon Mother Earth, creating, back inside studying, reformers, centuries, age, courage sustained, protesters martyred. Would we? Sabbath Eve evolves. I sometimes wonder, and you probably are like that too, would you have had the strength for some of these wonderful people through the centuries that were martyred for their faith, that had it harder than we do? My process becoming a pastor was a long one. I began by being a certified lay speaker in 1979. I was in southwestern Wisconsin, and I came to preach in small churches in that area. I said a firm yes to God, I'll be a full-time pastor in 99-2000. And because every time I'd be asked to preach someplace, at least one person in the congregation would say, you missed your calling. It's not teaching, you should be a minister. So I heard that over and over. You have a gift. But I was a wife of a minister, a mother, I was a public school teacher. I didn't pursue it until I heard the same comments when I had a Fulbright teaching experience in the country of Wales, and I attached myself to the Welsh Methodist Church. So I spoke several times there, and again the congregation said, you missed your calling, you should be a pastor. And so after two continents, and when I got back to America, I called my pastor and the district superintendent, and I felt relieved when I could finally serve God full time. So when I reflect on the loving ways, his patience and his signs, I feel reassured. It's been a long way, but I'm pretty comfortable here. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me to this place in this time. Amen.